Podcast.
Are we saying podcast?
Welcome back. Welcome back. Two fanboys and a filthy casual back at you once again. As usual, this is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
This is Harold. By the way, I didn't know you were doing the NPR intro.
I'm trying to do my sexy voice.
What is
hey, ladies.
Dan Rather.
So, maybe I have a cold.
Sexy cold.
What the hell, man? Calling me out like that.
Called him out like,
oh. So, today we're going to be talking about another review, but this time a little bit different. It's a review of a movie that we've all enjoyed before, but in a different way. And, of course, we're going to take a look at it in our usual fanboy fashion. But before we begin, I kind of wanted to give you... I had a revelation today, and I just wanted to share it with you. I was listening to Kevin Smith.
Okay.
I was listening to his podcast, and he was talking about Cobra Kai. And it kind of shows you why, we always talk about we're hilarious, but some people are just able to, like, analyze certain things in different ways. So he was talking about Cobra Kai, and he said he was great, and he was talking about the same things that we were doing. But the one thing he focused on was, if you remember, there was one of the episodes where Johnny and the Cobra Kais are on the bikes because his friend has cancer, right?
Right, yeah.
And so in the end, spoiler for those people who've never watched it or who didn't listen to our Cobra Kai episode, in the end of the whole thing, he dies. So the person who dies is the person he's famous for one line. Anybody remember what the line was?
Get him a body bag.
Okay. In the end, he leaves in a...
We talked about this.
You didn't. We didn't talk about this.
Yes, we did.
Did we?
Yeah, we did. It was my moment of like, oh my god.
Obviously, I didn't listen to you.
You didn't listen to ourselves.
And I have to edit it. Okay, never mind. Good job, Harold. I mean, Lewis.
No, it was Harold.
No, we were
good. Good. Yeah. Never mind. So, wow, that was kind of awkward. So. For me,
just saying that we can do just as good analysis as Kevin
Smith.
I guess so.
With like less followers.
Yeah. So today we're going to be talking about the newest live action movie by Disney, and of course we are talking about Aladdin.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was 1992, was it?
Yeah.
1992, the original one. Of course, even though we know we did our Brechtology and Lion King one, Aladdin did pretty
had
well.
Good run. Yeah, had
you know,
run.
It was one of our top contenders, and of course, this was an eventuality with Disney throwing out all these movies. We eventually had to do an Aladdin live action, and of course, there was a controversy before it even showed. Anybody like to expand on that one?
Which one? Because there's a few like hot takes that is it the Will Smith controversy? Is it the casting controversy?
Was it the makeup controversy?
Well, any which one.
a lot of hot takes. Because I know one of the going into this production, one of the biggest concerns that, you know, Hollywood had, or at least a lot of the fans had, was appropriate casting. Because, you know, unfortunately, you know, Hollywood has not had the best track record of hiring or casting the most appropriate folks to be, you know, to play minority roles. Scarlett Johansson comes to mind in Ghost in the Shell, and as well as I can't remember her name now. She played Emma Watson,
Emma Stone
in Aloha. Right in Aloha, who was supposed to be a Vietnamese American character. So, you know, there was a lot of apprehension about how Disney was going to pull this off. So, you know, thankfully, I mean, we'll jump into the spoilers when we get into it, but I feel that the casting for this was pretty well done. So, you know, not to jump into that, but yeah, so that was one of the controversies going into before the movie was even produced or even made.
The controversy, I think, I'm guessing what Harold was talking about in terms of makeup is, you know, when the trailer first came out,
yes,
you know, there was a lot of memes made out of it because Will Smith, of course, had to look like the genie. Mm-hmm. At the very least, they tried to. And of course, the genie is blue in the original movie. And of course, when it came out, everybody's talking about it was either, you know, Blue Man Group or, you know, the guy from Arrested Development,
yes,
you know, who blew himself, you know. So there was a lot of things there that was kind of controversial.
Right.
But I think for a lot of people, the question was, will Will Smith Will Smith. Will Smith tried to recreate, you know, the iconic performance of Robin Williams, because, you know, to this day, if you, you know, I've always tried to look for Prince Ali on every time I go on a karaoke machine, just right. because, you know, there's certain things and certain intonations that you have to sing, you know. Yep. And so that's one of the things people are wondering, what is going to happen with the show. So let's take a you know, let's start it off, I guess. What did you guys think? Good movie, bad movie? What did you, where are we at here?
I had pretty, you know, low expectations, more or less, but this movie was very well made. I enjoyed it a lot. Definitely well made, highly recommended, and definitely a good show for me.
We're not going to do a lose views on this one?
We've seen the original.
Yeah, I mean, do you want to?
I don't know. That's what I figured we were doing.
Lose views!
Oh, no! out of nowhere! Well, if you're new to this game, Lose Views is where I try to do the abridged Cliff Notes version of the movie. So
It's the same
so as 1992.
Lose Views or tweak it. What, for the most part, would you agree that they stayed true for the most part?
Absolutely.
But
absolutely.
There were, of course, some tweaks. I guess for Lose Views this time, let's do that. What are some tweaks that Lose Views knows?
Okay, so from...
Purr, purr, purr.
Purr, purr, purr. Thank you, Dan Rather. So one of the few tweaks early on, we are introduced... when we're introduced to Jasmine and to Aladdin during that fun little skirmish through the through Agrabah, we find out that both of their mothers had passed, and both of their mothers had huge influences on how they came to be. So that was kind of new to me, unless, you know, somebody can correct me. That was one change. A second change, they added the fact that Jafar was a thief, at least his background, that he was a, you know, he was kind of like Aladdin initially. He was a street rat like him, who would thief and steal his way up to his position as, you know, his vizier, the sultan. Other changes, we are introduced to a little, you know, hokey prince from one of the different kingdoms. And a last addition that they added too was the fact that Jafar, for whatever reason, had a hard on for another kingdom. Oh, sorry, I shouldn't say that word. I don't know if you need to bleep, but I'm sorry.
No, I think we've gotten way with worse.
Okay, so he really, really, really wanted to invade a neighboring kingdom.
Kerplakistan.
One of those.
I think it was Latvia, but I don't know, one of those. So, yeah, those are just some of the few changes. I think we can talk about it in depth later about if those changes added or maybe subtracted from the overall story. But if I'm not mistaken, that's what they added.
One of the cool things that I thought that they added to it was the fact that they tried to flesh out certain characters.
Right.
You know, Genie was a little bit more fleshed out this time around. Jasmine in particular.
Absolutely.
You know, Jasmine actually was one of the few, was the only character that actually had a new song. You know, originally, Jasmine never had a song, but this time around, she had that speechless song, which kind of talked about how, you know, everybody around, whether it's the, you know, patriarchy, whether it's the sultan, you know, everybody was telling her what to do. And, you know, the song that finally showed who she was, that she wasn't just some sort of, you know, prize for the prince. She wasn't just, you know, pining for love. She was actually, you know, hoping to be a better ruler than her father. Right. So I thought that one thing kind of added more depth into the whole movie.
They also had her as more of an actual political character for once, whereas in the obvious Disney princess role before, it was just, oh, I'm a damsel in distress, or, you know, this is my kind of role here. I'm just going to be playing a princess. Whereas in here, in the new adaptation, there's actually, you know, inclinations of her wanting to be not just a princess, but actually be queen now that, you know, mm-hmm. her mother is passed sultan. Away. Yeah, sultan, sorry. Or in my head, I was like, she's going to be the sultana. And I was like, no, that's kind of cool. Like, you know, she wanted to be more than just the princess. And it was kind of a nice little change for her.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I said previously, you never have the Jasmine character being more than just a standard Disney princess in the previous version, at least for me. And like you said, actually having songs that were more, you know, inclined towards her being stronger as a person and as a character was actually kind of a nice change.
The other thing that I thought that they did well was they fleshed out the genie a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was the same thing, but the fact that they actually had genie have a love interest. You know, it was actually pretty funny that, you know, the genie, fell in love, and spoiler alert, of course, fell in love with the handmaiden for Jasmine. And of course, the handmaiden was Goo-Goo Eyes with Will Smith also. I mean,
who wouldn't be, right?
I know, exactly. And so, you know, the fact that you had that in the end, which was cool at the very beginning, instead of the old opening, which was the merchant, mm-hmm. you know, walking down with the camels. This time around, it was Will Smith as the genie, you know, and then his wife, and then his two kids. So he actually has a life instead of in the old movie, he's just blue and still like,
without the cuffs.
Without the cuffs.
Yeah, that's literally all it was.
Yeah, that was the only thing.
Actually, I really did enjoy that fact, like the fact that they changed it up, that freedom for genie became ironically becoming human. So I thought that was a really good change of characterization, or one of the changes that they made. Because, yeah, you're right. I think giving him a love interest and giving him a story instead of just being, you know... Because that was kind of like a question that I had, you know, even back then, or looking back at the original Aladdin from now on. It's like, yeah, sure, Genie's free. So now he's just free to be the most powerful being on Earth. I was like, oh, okay, kind of weird. But, yeah, this one, you know, it kind of gives it that loose end a nice little tie-up, saying that, yes, Genie becomes human. I don't know what he's going to go by. Gene, maybe. And, you know, have a wife and have a boat and do his thing.
What is it if they have a small boat, dude?
I don't know, dude. You think he could have, like, magic the bigger one, but yeah.
He wasn't a genie anymore.
You're right.
So, what are some of the things that you like? We kind of talked about some of the changes. What are maybe moments, maybe songs, maybe, you know, characterizations that you guys enjoyed? And maybe what are some things you didn't really appreciate? Let's stick with things we like first.
Just not to sound too redundant or whatnot, but I still love the musical numbers. I think they did the production, or like how they presented the songs and the dance and song production, was really well made, to the point where, you know what, I have to say, if you weren't, like, you know, clapping along or snapping your fingers to the song, you might be dead. You might have to check your pulse and make sure you're okay. Because, yeah, all the songs, I mean, I think there was a little bit of a backlash when they released the Prince Ali song online on YouTube, and a lot of people were nitpicking, like, oh, Will Smith doesn't look like he's into it, or this looks too monochrome or monotone, that kind of stuff. But when you see it in a big screen, when you see it in, like, surround, or in a decent stereo surround sound kind of environment, it's really good, you know. And not to mention, like, what Dennis mentioned earlier, Jasmine's new song was a really nice addition to it. So yeah, I really, really liked how they kind of did justice for those songs, if not made it a little bit better, especially for this new generation.
We're talking about things we liked?
Yeah.
I thought Aladdin was great. I thought the casting of Aladdin and Jasmine were really good. Nice to see Aladdin doing parkour. But then, okay, that's pretty much all I liked about the movie. Continue on.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. We'll I don't know. I kind of want to get rid of the stuff. I kind of want to hear hot takes here. No, I think we should go.
What do you like
about it? No. I really want to know.
I wanted to hear what you liked about the movie.
I actually don't want to talk about it now because I'm so curious.
No, so, okay, there's things in
it. So here we go, Harold. Let's go. What did you not like? Go ahead.
I didn't like the movie. Period. No, I'm just kidding.
No, you're not.
No, it's not.
You should see Harold's face right now. It's almost like I'm talking about Tom Holland at this point.
For yourself. It's not that I didn't like the movie. It's super unnecessary, like all the other Disney remakes are. If they're gonna do it pretty much shot for shot, right? Like, if we have a live version of something that we already love, I don't really need to see the live version. I did it out of curiosity, and mainly because, you know, it's like to see the comparison, the contrasting of, like, the original product, which is something that, luckily for us, you know, it was of our time growing up. So it's a big part of our lives. Mm-hmm. And, like, Aladdin has always been going to be ingrained in my childhood. Going into this movie, I was like, okay, I'll give it a chance because, like we obviously talked about, we love Will Smith. And it's a Disney thing, so it's like always giving Disney a chance. And I went into it like, okay, pretend that you've never seen Aladdin before, which is impossible for me because, I've always things. But like, for the most part, I was like, I'm going to pretend that this is a brand new thing that I've never seen and try not to compare too much into the original. And I couldn't. I literally could not. And I was like, in my head, I was like, this movie does not start with Arabian Nights.
Okay. I am walking out of this movie. Again, the rage. Only I can take pictures. It's like me talking about Tom Holland right now.
No, it wasn't. This is the thing that just irked me more than anything.
We're gonna talk about this.
We're gonna talk about this later. But like, they should not have Will Smith doing musical numbers, because Will Smith can't carry a musical number unless it's a hip hop thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was over auto-tuned to death. And you know who I like, how I love listening to things that are like original recordings and everything. It just pained me every time, and it was like, I'm like, skip the track. Let me go back to the original. And I was really digging Jasmine's voice, and then it just became, I don't know, I'm just douchey about that, but I was like, it really became overproduced for me, and it was the worst when they did A Whole New World together, because I genuinely loved Aladdin's voice. Like, when he did One Jump, I was like, oh my god, this is perfect casting. Like, you know, he was doing Prince of Persia, and he was singing at the same time, and I was like, man, you know, this guy's perfect and everything. And then he did a great job. He just did a great job all together. And then when they have that scene together where it's supposed to be the nice A Whole New World kind of deal, which, you know, obviously since I did it last week at karaoke, I love the song. And I was just like, I wasn't dreading her parts, but when I heard her parts coming in, I was like, just a little bit. But they blended well together. And then, I don't know, there's just things that were just irritating me the whole time. I was really, really, I really, really, really wanted to give it a chance. And it was just more and more, I just kept on getting bored with it. And mainly it's because I did not like the Jafar character. I despised how bad the casting was on that one. Because the guy did not look evil. He did not seem evil. He was just doing evil things. Where it's like, you know, if you're a Disney villain, you need to outright look like that's a Disney villain.
It's funny that the things that you don't like is the things that I actually appreciated about it. Because I walked in there, the same thing with you, is that I was dreading the comparisons. And that was the thing, is I was able to actually get rid of the comparisons and pick and choose. And in fact, there was one scene there that it was almost like a little F you to you or to other people.
Yeah, pretty much.
There was that one scene where you know, they start doing you know, Never Had a Friend Like Me, where he starts kind of doing his version of it, and it's terrible. And Aladdin kind of has this face going, oh well, you know, okay. And then the genie goes, oh, you don't like that one? Well, let's do this. And then they do the numbers, like, oh my god, that's exactly what a lot of people were expecting, that it was going to be something that was, you know, no matter what Will Smith, no matter what they did with the movie, there's always going to be those people that loves the movie that will never ever be happy. But I was able to actually stay there. And like I said, the fact that they were able to, you know, update the character, one of the most useless Disney princesses in the world was Jasmine. Her only thing was, you know, I don't ever want to get married. Oh no, there's a cute boy, now I'm gonna get married. I fly all over the world, and then that's it. That was her only arc. And it was actually cool for me to see that they were able to update it. And not just that, they were able to update Aladdin also in his own way. Yeah. It wasn't just some, you know, it wasn't just some cocky, you know, street rat that he was perfect almost. You know, there's a scene where Will Smith and Aladdin, you know, like, I really appreciate it where Aladdin kind of realizes, or Genie realizes, that Aladdin has changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, you know, one of the things that Genie kind of said, and not, it wasn't said in the original, was that, you know, kind of like, with great power comes with great responsibility, where he was like, yeah, I've heard that before. You know, that everybody else always says that, you know, I don't need more power.
Mm-hmm.
And when it turned, there was a moment between Will Smith and the Aladdin character, and I was like, wow, you know, they were able to actually bring some sort of emotion to something that you already knew was going to happen. So even when even with the climactic battle where we knew for a fact that Jafar had to become a genie, people were wondering, well, are they going to have the time clock or the sand clock? Mm-hmm. Are they going to have him turning into a giant snake and everything? In the end, it wasn't Aladdin who outsmarted; it was actually the genie. If I remember right, Aladdin or Jafar just said something along the lines of, the most powerful being in the world.
Right.
And he was like, oh, well, there's gray area there. Oh, well, I'm going to do something about it.
Yeah.
And it was something that they actually introduced at the beginning, which is where he was drowning and he broke the genie code.
Right.
And I kind of agree with Harold that a lot of these things, Beauty and the Beast, I love Beauty and the Beast, okay? But, and I guess maybe this is a transition that we can kind of jump off on it. It seems like Harold, Lewis and I kind of like the movie. Harold, Tom Holland did it.
Really quickly, before I cut off the door here, and the best, the thing that I liked about the movie is the movie's called Aladdin. And the story actually focused on Aladdin. Whereas in the original cartoon, it was literally all about, Robin Williams as a genie. And I was thinking coming into it, I was like, I really hope that because they're giving it a transition that they don't do that, where it's, not as much as a focus on Will Smith as a genie. And that was, the whole stunt casting thing, which was, just a big thing about it. And it was nice that they actually had him as not the main character. So, for that, it's like, I gave that a little bit more consideration, but then everything else was just like, I don't know.
The kind of going back to Will Smith, and again,
you keep calling him. This is the thing.
Here's the problem. William Smith.
No. This is the problem with the movie itself. The problem with the movie itself is we keep not calling him the genie. We keep calling him Will Smith
because he's the genie now. but that's the thing, though. And again, kind of going back to the whole thing is that the genie. The genie. When we think about the genie, it's the genie. It's Robin Williams' character, yeah. And I appreciate the fact that at no point did Will Smith actually try to be.
That's what was kind of nice.
Robin Williams. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He did his own. You know, even the songs. I love Prince Ali. I still love. I will always love Prince Ali by Robin Williams. The frenetic changing into characters, but this one though it was almost like watching Hitch. It was like Hitch as a genie.
That's why you saw the very last scene of that movie was literally a rip off of Hitch.
Except Bollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. But I was just watching it, I was like, oh, okay, so we're just gonna forget that. I don't know why.
Well, the demographic of people who've seen Aladdin and Hitch, maybe not so much. I don't know.
All three of us.
The three of us and that's it.
There's other Will Smith fans out there.
Who have seen
So, I guess we jump to that question then.
We didn't really get Lewis's opinion on the movie.
It's sorry. Well, I liked the movie
in general.
Okay, well,
you said you enjoyed it.
I did. I really did. Not to put on... Actually, I guess I will. I'm going to put on my ethnic studies hat and say, I really enjoy that the cast was hella diverse. This is, one of the brownest movies I've ever seen. So it's...
I love that one.
I know.
Brownest movie. It was so colorful.
I know.
Yeah.
This side of Bollywood. So I really dug that a lot. It's great to see representation up there on the big screen. I think everybody's kind of given their hot take on Will Smith. And I'm going to kind of side with Dennis on this one. I like that Will Smith did his thing. He didn't try to... I think if he tried to copy Robin Williams as Genie, that would have been super problematic. That would have been, really ridiculous on his end. So, it's good that, in a sense, he kind of Will Smithed it up. And I think that seems to be my argument for all of these movie reviews or remakes or whatnot. This is a generational thing. I went to see this with my eldest son who is in college and then my youngest who is 10 years old, neither of whom are beholden to the 1992 original. So to them, my little guy said something that made my wife and I kind of gasp, who my wife and I grew up on the 92 version. And he's seen the cartoon on VHS or on Blu-ray, and they both said, this is better. It's like, oh, oh, that's a hot take, guys. But, you know, it, like I said, generational thing. Kind of like, you know, Tom Holland is their Spider-Man. And, you know, Tobey's going to be our Spider-Man, so forth and so on. I guess this is going to be their genie. Will's going to be their genie. Robin's going to be ours. And
part of it is maybe not just generational. And this is one of the things that I've always... And again, might be blasphemous. I've loved Aladdin, but Aladdin has one great flaw. That original 1992 had a great flaw. It was Robin Williams.
Mm.
And not because of his performance, but because his performance is dated. You bring a young 6-year-old, 7-year, 8-year-old, and you watch all his little quips, all his, like, you know, his voice acting and everything. There's like, it'll all go over their head.
Right.
For us, it's hilarious. Yeah. Oh my God, he's Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah. Oh, you know,
Jack Nicholson.
You know, like all those things, it made sense. But in a way, and I think this is the reason why we have these remakes, is that, you know, it is a new generation. Same as I never really truly appreciated Cinderella. You know, I never truly appreciated Sleeping Beauty. That was before my time.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But if you talk to somebody older than we are, mm-hmm. you know, that's their princess. You know, and all of these other princesses are a little bit different. So, anything else before we move on to our next topic? Any other takes here?
That's all I got. Really good.
You liked it, right?
Huh?
You liked it?
I really did. I actually did like it.
I think, you know what?
I think part of it is because, and again, I've been looking, maybe I'm looking through it with, or William Smith colored glasses, which is still kind of, it's kind of light.
Yeah.
It's kind of light, you know? But, you know, it was a spectacle. Now, if I compare it to the original one, I think the original one is still going to be my Aladdin. You know, if I had an option of watching those two, I'm going to go with the original one. But this is worthwhile, worth enough that I know for a fact that when the Blu-ray comes out, I'm actually going to buy it.
Okay.
You know, I didn't buy the Beauty and the Beast one. I didn't buy the Dumbo one. I didn't buy all those things. But this one, I'm actually going to buy it. You know, which I guess in our version of you know, thumbs up, thumbs down, that's actually a good thing.
Yeah.
I think maybe one of the issues also might be that you guys watched it with your families. And I watched it with people like our age.
Oh, okay.
Where it was like, I don't know.
Cynical.
That's the word I was about to say.
Not cynical. If I watched it with you guys, it'd be cynical. it's the same. It's like the watching.
Harold's friends are like, boo.
No, when the movie's...
It's William Smith, not Robin Williams.
Robinson Williams.
I don't know, man. Like, I appreciated the, like you guys say, keep saying the spectacle. The other thing I hate is I hate Guy Ritchie as a director.
Okay.
He is a garbage director, right? It's all like flash and substance, with flash and no substance. There was parts in that movie where I was watching it and I was like, this is bad. It's bad to the eye for me. Like, he was speeding up sequences, he was slowing down sequences. I did not like that at all.
I agree. It caught me off guard. There were certain sequences I had to turn to my wife and I was like, it's slower than...
Yeah.
It's not on track with each other, right?
Yeah.
And especially some of the action sequences looked like...
The action sequences are kind of really... Like, you have people who can actually do these parkour scenes. And they deliberately chose to CGI them. And, like, bad original Spider-Man CGI kind of things. And it was like...
How dare you?
You know when it was like Spider-Man was really far away, you're like, that's not the way.
Yeah, it's a weird tangent, but yeah, some of those action sequences, I'm like, am I watching Prince of Persia?
That's exactly what it was supposed
to be. Ironically, I think they're remaking, actually. Yeah. The game, I mean. I'm sorry, not the...
With Tobey Maguire.
Not the...
Yeah.
And William Smith.
And Jake Gyllenhaal in a cameo.
Okay. Wearing the Mysterio mask.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
But it's like, I like when they introed Aladdin, showing him doing like kind of parkour-y stuff. And I was like, yeah, why don't we, let's go with this character. And then instead it's like,
he
got Guy Ritchie'd for me. And like,
got
Guy Ritchie'd.
So I guess we're going to end this portion of the podcast with saying that Harold... Hating
you
it.
Know, instead of Lou's views, it's Harold's hates. Ooh, H's hates.
No, we'll work on the back.
We'll work on it.
Yeah, we'll figure that out. Just brainstorming.
Speaking of H's hates, you know, the one thing that these remakes kind of has, I don't know, I guess produced, is there's been a lot of negative commentary. There's been a lot of negative things said about it. And so I guess the secondary part of this topic is, I kind of wanted to ask you, have you watched any of the remakes, A? And B, you know, do you think that it's something that Disney should be doing? You know, Lewis kind of just talked about the idea that, you know, we're rehashing things and, you know, it's nostalgia gone wild. Well, it seems like they're making money. You know, it's being predicted Aladdin's going to be making at least $1 billion.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's,
really?
That's what they've been talking about.
That's what it's on pace to make, right? Yeah.
That's what it's on pace so far. Okay. You know, but, you know, and of course there have been other remakes that has not been as successful. So what do you guys think? Is this something that Disney should be pursuing, especially considering, as Harold kind of talked about, Lion King is coming up? You know, and let's go to you, especially since that raw nerve is still there.
I always remember the first, like, live-action remake I remember was the 101 Dalmatians one. Because Glenn Close actually did a really good job as a Cruella de Vil.
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, okay, because when I was doing the research for this thing, I was like, I saw a live-action Disney movie a long time ago. And then I was like, oh, yeah, it was 101 Dalmatians. And then, you know... as the original was something where the Dalmatians themselves were the main characters, this one it couldn't be so much because they tried to do as much as possible not using them as speaking animals. And then that's kind of like when they were doing the Lion King thing, I was like, are they going to do actual, like, you know, real animals speaking? Which is why it's kind of, it still looks weird to me. Where it's like, you know, a real lion, like, hey, what's up, man? And then, yeah, and then so, like, I enjoyed that just because it was like, it seemed at the time, it seemed like something that it was like very novel. And then I guess at the, you know, that was almost more than 20 years ago, they, you know, just ran with the idea recently, and it's getting, I think for me, the overkill was Beauty and the Beast, mainly because Beauty and the Beast is that classic where it's like, you know, first animated movie nominated for Best Picture, and then and then they come up and have that as their thing, you know.
And I think that's where, at least for me, you know, when we were thinking about this this story, or at least this topic, you know, you kind of use 101 Dalmatians. I was thinking of the Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah,
you know, I was thinking Maleficent and all these things. The one reason why I don't think, two reasons at least for me, where I didn't have or we didn't have the same, you know, negative opinion about it is, one is it's an old classic that we, you know, I hate to say it, but I don't have the same connection to it as Beauty and the Beast or Little Mermaid, mm-hmm. or, you know, Lion King and all these things. But the second one thing is also that they almost, I don't know if it was intentional, they never really tried to do a shot-for-shot remake of it. They had their own spin. As you kind of talked about, they made Glenn Close's character a little bit more, there was more to her than just, you know, some random person that just came in. And it made the actual thing, you know, even better. You know, when they did Alice in Wonderland, they actually made the queen, like, really menacing. You know, really scary almost. So they kind of changed the tone of it. It wasn't just Alice in Wonderland was scary itself already, but they kind of almost turned into like a horror.
Yeah, like, you know? Johnny Depp as a Mad Hatter was, if you didn't understand that he was supposed to be that kind of character, would scare the crap out of you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I totally agree with what Harold said. Like, Johnny Depp's turn as a Mad Hatter was a total turnoff for my son. Did not like that version at all and hasn't looked forward to that. And to harp on the live action, you know, interpretation of these movies, I think what made those earlier movies like 101 Dalmatians work was what, like Harold said, it was novel. It was new. It was something different. But I think, you know, consumers nowadays, we've gotten a little bit smarter. So I think we're kind of gotten to the point where almost every year, the last few years, there's a live action interpretation of these classics, and people are starting to notice, like, oh, these are just money grabs, or, you know, they're just kind of harping on or trying to go on, hitch on to somebody popular's name, like, yeah, like you said, Johnny starring William Smith.
Sorry, we're talking about Jonathan Depp.
So yeah, I mean, like, for Maleficent, you know, they're obviously going off of Angelina Jolie's popularity.
Angie Jo.
Does she still listen to this podcast? Yeah. Okay.
You know, I'm looking at this thing. I totally forgot that they remade Pete's Dragon.
Yeah. And it was actually pretty good.
Was it really?
Yeah. It was different. But again, it was a reinterpretation of it.
Okay.
You know, which made it even better. Like, did you watch Jungle Book?
I did. I actually enjoyed Jungle
Book. Yeah. And again, back to it. Yes, there was some.
That's kind of like. I like that. I like the point that you've made, and that's kind of why the hatred I have for both Aladdin and Beauty and the Beast, and hopefully The Lion King, because it's really looking shot for shoddy. Like, wait, I don't know. But with at least with Jungle Book, you know, you had Favreau doing it. Mm-hmm. That's what's kind of crazy about these things, is they have really good directors.
Absolutely. Like Guy Ritchie.
And Dumbo was directed by Tim Burton. Yeah. You know, like, I was expecting Dumbo to, like, come out to the dun, 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 dun. It didn't happen, but, and that actually was, that, I know, I don't, I think you said you hadn't seen it yet.
Which one?
Dumbo?
No, I have not.
And Lee, you haven't
Me seen neither.
It. It's, neither. I saw it because it was at the Dollar Theater. And
I heard there was no Jim Crow in it.
No.
How dare you?
This needs to be shot for shoddy. Harold's word, by the way. No. Shot
that's,
for shoddy.
That's why it's kind of, yeah, that's why it's kind of, it's slightly more enjoyable in the fact that it wasn't, you know, it had very good interpretations, but at the same time, it was a Tim Burton movie, so it was like, you know, I was just surprised the pink elephants didn't start murdering everybody and everything. You know.
But, murderous clowns gonna start shooting Batman. Sorry, I mean, whatever.
So I think that's kind of my level of standard is, we can enjoy a live action version of, well, I mean, at least I can enjoy a live action version of an old animated movie, as long as it's not literally just, you know, copy and pasting it just with different actors onto it.
So did you just say that you liked Dumbo?
Better
than Aladdin.
Yeah, I actually liked it better than Aladdin.
Wow, hot take.
Like, right, Beauty and the Beast.
But I think the problem, not problem, but for the three of us here, I think it's because those, like, golden age, you know, cartoons, we're beholden to them. Yeah. So I bet you the minute they green light, like, a Little Mermaid cartoon,
which I think
we are going to have already. Pitchforks ready. Are they really?
I think they did that already.
Oh, did? No. No,
they haven't done it.
I think Little Mermaid's the last one.
Yeah, they're green lit.
Yeah,
But the other one that I know I'm gonna have pitchforks and and you know, tiki torches is that Lilo and Stitch is gonna be a remake.
Oh really?
Oh wow! Yeah.
They're gonna be doing a live action remake. Yikes! I'm like, dude.
I already know Mulan comes out next year, right?
Yes. Right. Yeah. That's already been cast.
But see, the thing is with Mulan, if they keep it to kind of like an action movie, action movie with, as long as, and then they do, you know, I'll Make a Man Out of You, then I'm fine with it. But, and then Leia Salonga.
You have to put in Leia Salonga
somehow.
I think more than anything, the reason I didn't like Aladdin was because there was no Leia Salonga in it.
So if the Pink Ranger was, her voice was taken out and they put Leia Salonga in there, it would have been okay.
Yeah.
It would have at least, like, gotten a notch higher.
Like a 0.5 higher.
Sure. I think
0.5 is what Leia Salonga, like,
yes. Yeah, she adds to every the biggest.
I guess, you know, moving forward, you know, if you were able to fix things, you know, there were some movies that you seemed to like. I know for a fact that Jungle Book was not really that well received. Dumbo itself was not well received. No. You know,
maybe I'm just against the grain and, like, I don't know.
I think what if you saw, Harold just saw, like, a review. Aladdin, great movie. No. Will Smith, amazing. a genie. He's like, bah humbug.
I'm automatically gonna hate this. Like, with Cinderella. Okay, I think I remember the point that you made before was the movies that we came to as adolescents or children, and then they made live action versions of them, we kind of gave them a pass because, you know, But like the classic ones like Dumbo and Cinderella and Jungle Book, that were the originals were made before our time, but we saw it as children. We kind of like, you know, give them a little more of an acceptance because it's like we're not, as you guys love to use that word today, and I'm going to steal it from you, beholden to the original version. Because, yeah, we saw them when we were kids, but those weren't, you know, those were kind of, I guess they were like forced upon us. Because,
yeah, yeah.
You know, so.
What else were you going to watch it, you know, yeah, like, 3 in the afternoon in 1984?
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, here's a new live version of Cinderella, or here's a different take on Sleeping Beauty, but enjoy it because you weren't here when the original came around. And, you know, those were made in like the 50s and 60s, so it has to be updated. And then I guess for me, it's like, does it really have to be updated when it's only been, I don't know, sadly to say it's been 30 years and whatnot?
It's only been 30 years.
Okay, I'm so old. Has it been 30 years?
Well, Aladdin was like 20...
Oh, crap. Oh. We're getting to that point, dude.
26 years ago or something like that.
Jeez. Well, that's been a while. That means, okay, fine. Never mind.
Yeah.
Oof, a little scary there. So, I guess the last question is, you know, like kind of alluded to, if you were, you know, if you had the ear of a producer, if you had an ear of a director, you know, we have a couple, you know, beloved, you know, movies that's coming up. What would you change aside from get rid of auto tuning because it seems like that's a constant for Harold, dude. Yeah. Like any. I remember when we talked about Beauty and the Beast, that was his one of his biggest complaints was that, you know,
Emma Watson,
mm-hmm. Emily Watson, Emily Watson,
Emilia Watson, Watsonsville,
Emilia Watson was
extending your last names,
and then all of a sudden now you have Will Smith, you know, who I, and again maybe one of the reasons was why I didn't enjoy why I enjoyed it so much is that I don't recognize the auto tuning unless it's coming from Glee, you know, and Glee Harold had but to dude, explain like, to me what auto tune was.
But Emma Watson's was so obvious. It was like, how did that note all of a sudden become good? It was so bad like a second ago. And you know, as much as I'm not a Harry Potter fan, so I was never like infatuated with her or not. There's way better casting choices than Emma Watson as the Belle.
I mean, yeah, I think that goes back to that whole stunt casting thing with, you know, Angelina Jolie and whatnot. It's like, who's the hottest young teenager, you know, young adult actress that we can put here and make the most out of it? For me, I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm not as in tune with music as Harold is, but for me, like, auto tune. I'm the shallow one here, so make them less dark. I mean, I think I'm looking I'm looking at the posters.
We're looking at the opposite. I thought we were looking for.
I just said this
celebrating Aladdin being the diversity. Brown.
Yeah. It's the brownest movie. Too dark.
Get rid of the darkness.
Put the sliders back the other way, guys. No, I mean, you know,
surprisingly, AutoTune uses sliders.
Yes, it also uses sliders too. So I mean, just like how they advertise it and how it's kind of shown on commercials and whatnot, it just seems dark for me. Like it if you're trying to invite this younger generation, you know, this certain demographic of elementary school kids, and you know, these kids are the ones that tell their parents, "Hey, I want to go see Dumbo." I'll be perfectly honest. Like I said earlier, like none of my kids were running to go say, like, let's go see Dumbo. It's like, if I want to see a Tim Burton movie, like, I want to go in for a Tim Burton movie. Dumbo, part of me, like, again, rose-shaded glasses is supposed to be fun. I mean, obviously, there's a tragic part of Dumbo. But, you know, I remember Dumbo for the parts where he's flying around the circus and he's having fun and there's big old flappy ears. But this one looks horrifying with, you know, Danny DeVito as the circus ringleader. Was he
the ringmaster.
Yeah, and you know,
he's just Danny DeVito. The thing is, I don't know, just
Penguin.
I stopped taking Danny DeVito seriously when he was when they turned him into a main character on It's Always Sunny.
Okay, which
is still one of my favorite TV shows. So it's like, yeah, he's still Frank Reynolds to me. So.
Okay, but so yeah, I mean, if I had the ear to producer, like advertise it a little bit more fun. I think that's what they did well with Aladdin. Like their posters, they're advertising a lot more colorful. You know, they're showing off the you know. The song numbers as much as Harold disliked them. And I think that's kind of part of what that's gonna maybe, I'm being optimistic here, that might work well for a Lion King. Because they're advertising these posters, like these character posters that they're showing off. A lot of the commercials are showing off. They're showing the first few minutes where it's like a bright safari, and the beautiful Sahara. Look at these well-lit, colorful lions and look how nice they look. So, you know, that's all I would probably recommend.
So two scenes that it's a must for me for Lion King to for me to like not treat it like Harold treats these live action movies. One is the facial features. Like one of the cool things, at least for me, for Lion King, and I don't know how well they can do, was that how expressive the lions were.
Right. Yeah.
You know. Yeah. So far I've seen them doing, you know, like real cubs, real lions. So it's going to be interesting to do so. Secondly, Scar. There you go. If they mess up Scar, I'm going to be burning down, Disneyland at that point.
Jesus.
last but not least, you know, speaking of again facial expressions, I want them to try to recreate that scene where Nala and Simba like fall in love and Nala,
give each other googly eyes.
Yeah, Nala kind of gives me the come hither look.
She said, "Gives me."
Simba.
Well, no, the way they shot it, you don't see Simba. You just see her face, and she's like, "Hey, baby." But it's a lioness. It's like, how'd you do that?
Young Dennis was very confused.
Do I like lions?
Am I a furry? A lot of questions from that moment.
During that time, I was not furry.
Jesus.
Just 16 when that movie came out.
It was a late bloomer. Okay, so anything else, other things they want to talk about before we end our program today?
I thought Aladdin was a perfectly cromulent movie, so I mean, I kind of recommend it if you got little kids or if you got younger kids. Definitely go see it. Unless you have anything against
it. For me, it's a must-buy. Once Blu-ray comes in, I'm going to buy that crap, and I'm going to parade it around. And
he's going to play it at Friendsgiving, where Harold can't go anywhere.
Hey, Harold, never had a friend like me, bro.
I'm actually looking forward to the live-action remake of Bambi, where they show his mother get massacred, and then like the blood spills everywhere. Because I would be more entertained by that than what I watched in Aladdin.
So, real quick,
it's the equivalent.
Real quick story before we ended. I had a coworker. Well, his name was Nick, and one day we were doing a Halloween dress up thing, and almost every single coworker of mine dressed up except him. He was wearing like a hunter's outfit. And the kids kept on asking, who are you? Who are you supposed to be? His response was, I'm Bambi's mother's killer.
Jesus.
I was like, that is a great costume. You are amazing. And we're going to end off on that note. As usual, if you enjoyed our podcast, please make sure to, hit up our interwebs, intermedias, whatever it's called. For me, I always plug 2fanboys1casual.com, our website where we have all the websites, all the podcasts that we've had ever.
All right. And on Facebook, you can find us. Look in the search bar, plug in 2fanboys and a filthy casual. Every time our podcast goes live, we'll be announcing it there. Any fun articles, any news coming out from the world of fandom, we will post it there. And hopefully you can keep us keep the conversation going, and drop in the comments, hit us a like, and hit that share button.
And also on Twitter and Instagram, 2fanboys1casual, feel free to bombard me with why I am wrong about Aladdin being a terrible movie, and I will tell you that you are wrong, because I'm never wrong. You are wrong. I'm still so angry.
That is it for us today. I hope you enjoyed our episode. As usual,
this is Lewis.
This is Harold.
So is Lewis beholden a phone?
Yes. Imagine Quentin Tarantino as the director for
Bambi. Yeah.
Just like...